Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production and a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Timothy Holcomb.
Welcome into Focus on the Upstate. I am indeed your host, Timothy Holcomb. And this week, we talked to co-chair of Greenville Women Giving, Beverly Ward, as they kick off their Shero campaign. Beverly, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Tim, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there were some things going on this month, where they have International Women's Day, that they had National Women in Sports Day, giving to nonprofit organizations for women, that would be very fitting to talk about. So thank you again for coming on the show. And first of all, I want to talk about, what is Greenville Women Giving and what exactly do you guys do?
Yeah, well, Greenville Women Giving was established in 2006, and it is a women's collective giving organization serving Greenville County. Our founders were Harriet Goldsmith, Sue Priester, and Frances Elliott, and they had this kind of great idea that met a timely kind of need and implementation within Greenville. We were founded on the idea that women, when informed about philanthropy and the needs of their community, would make a real difference and be more effective pooling funds than what they could do on their own. So GWG, or Greenville Women Giving, provides that mechanism. We are currently about 500 plus members, and our mission is to work collectively to identify and fund, as you said, nonprofits in five key focus areas: arts, education, environment, health, and human services. In addition to granting, we also have a mission to educate, engage, and inspire others to get involved and give back to the community. In support of that, Greenville Women Giving hosts five educational events a year, each addressing one of the five key focus areas that I mentioned. And the education sessions are not only open to members, but they're also to guests, so that we can kind of share in that information about Greenville County. I would also say that because it's collective giving, the funding for yearly grants is made available through the annual contributions of GWG members. And I'll talk about that process more in a minute. But when the grants are selected and they're based on the voting of all our membership, thus we have a principle of one woman, one vote. So there's, being part of Greenville Women Giving gives everyone a chance to kind of, hands on in terms of how we're investing and giving back to the community.
And now, you talked about five events. Can you give me some examples of like what kind of events you're talking about there?
Well, as a matter of fact, our latest one, we actually, we've had things in terms of, the Greenville Zoo, in terms of, kind of some of Hope, you know, Harvest Hope thing, you know, some of the nonprofits that we've also supported. And our most recent one was actually just held on Tuesday. It was our last one for the year at South Carolina's Children's Theater. And the focus was on using art as a coping mechanism. So most of these education programs look at the intersection of how, you know, certain things complement each other and a holistic view of what's needed to kind of support those community needs.
I like that. Those are definitely some cool events and stuff that we can get involved and everything. So when you go through the process of choosing which nonprofits fund, like, how do you guys make that decision?
Yeah, so there is an application process that the nonprofits go through, which typically opens November 1. That's the application, the opening of the application portal. And they have 3 to 4 weeks to kind of complete that application. So the portal usually closes about the last week of November. We start advertising those dates for the application process in mid-summer. And we use a variety of outlets to get the word out, such as media releases, social media, websites, emails to past applicants and other partners, newsletters. We also hold information sessions for those local nonprofits to explain the application process and the requirements. This is all done in an effort to make sure that all nonprofits in Greenville County have the same opportunity to apply. Once they apply, then those particular applications go through a thorough review. There are some eligibility and guidelines for Greenville Women Giving Grants, which are published on our website throughout the year. They include the fact that a nonprofit has to qualify as tax exempt under the Section 501c3 and be located or providing services in Greenville County. So our goal is to seek funding worthy grants that have the potential for high impact. And we look for opportunities where they're partnering and there's, you know, kind of leveraging other organizations within Greenville County as well. Now, I talked about the review process. All applications are reviewed in detail by Grants Review Committee. And we receive probably about 70 to 80 grants in that time period that I talk about. So the Grants Review Committee is made up of a subset of our membership. Approximately 60 plus members sign up for it each year. And the committee is broken into teams and aligned against those 5 focus areas so that when they're reviewing grants, they're comparing like grants and they're able to kind of do a very deep and thorough review. We take a lot of pride in our grant review process, and it has been, you know, kind of held up by many as a good, solid example of how to review those applications. I'd like to share kind of like a typical timeline as to, you know, kind of what the grants go through. Thanks. So in November, the grants are received, and we typically, like I said, receive about 70 or 80 grants. Those grants are initially reviewed to make sure they meet our guidelines, right? We want to pass on to the Grants Review Committee those that are valid, if you will. It is not the evaluation of that grant, though, is in the hands of the Grants Review Committee once we turn it over. In the December timeframe, that committee is divided into teams, again, by focus areas, and the grants are assigned. Each team is also assigned a team lead who is experienced with the grant review process so that the procedures and process are consistent across all the teams. In January, there's a formal kickoff of that grants review team, and they're provided supporting documentation and kind of the activities that they will complete as they go through the next several months. So one of the other things they do in January is they do their initial evaluation of those grants and decide which ones go to site visits. So there's several steps through the process, the evaluation process, by which the grants are reviewed and then determined which ones are going to go forward. At every single step where a grant is not moving forward, we communicate with that nonprofit because we know that they're also looking for, you know, kind of other funding, and they need to kind of be aware of what's going on. So there's about 60% of the grants received actually receive site visits, and that's, you know, that's a goal that we kind of set up, because we found that through the site visit that we learn more about the nonprofit and the grant, as well as the nonprofit learns in that process as well, how to communicate about their grant, their work, you know, what are the key things to highlight. And there's a lot of learning that goes on both sides. In mid-January to early February, the site visits are conducted. Then the teams again decide which grants will go forward. In March, there are internal presentations to the Grants Review Committee by which they decide which grants are going to go to ballot. And that ballot is the one that gets shared with all the membership, back to that one woman, one vote. Mid to late March, the ballot is developed for membership. The ballots are mailed to all members in the April timeframe. But in advance of the voting deadline for the ballot, we conduct what we call a ballot showcase. And that means or allows those nonprofits that are on the ballot to have informal conversations with all of our members. It's open up to all the membership. The nonprofit does a 2 to 3 minute kind of info commercial on their particular grant. Then they also set up a booth so that members can walk around and, you know, kind of ask more questions, you know, find out more information about every, you know, that allows our members to be more well-informed as they start the voting process. In late April, early May, that the votes are calculated and tabulated, if you will, and then the awardees, the final winners, are communicated with. And they're, you know, identified in terms of, you know, there's a somewhat of a contract we ask them to sign in terms of what they're going to do for the funding that we have provided. And we talk about timelines and things of that nature. It's been kind of an interesting process because there have been times that once a grant is awarded and the work is started, we also have what we call a grants assessment committee. So a liaison is kind of assigned to that nonprofit to follow the grant to its fruition. And there have been times when we've been able to kind of help get things moving, right? If they were having a hard time finding a contractor or if they ran into permit issues, Greenville Women Giving being 500 women strong, there's a lot of, you know, connection across the county. So we've been able to kind of move some of those grants forward that were stalled. So we're pretty proud of the things that we're able to do once we award the money. In the May time frame, we have our annual meeting and award ceremony, and that's where it is publicized which grants were awarded, the checks for their, you know, 1 and 2 year grants, the checks for the first year are kind of handed out, and those awardees are recognized publicly.
A lot of good information there. Awesome. Real quick, can you give me some examples of the projects that you funded over the years?
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you, since we've been in existence for 15 years, we have been fortunate to raise $7 million, enabling us to invest in 134 grants to 86 local nonprofits. So the list of grant recipients is varied and diverse and long, and significantly reflects the needs of Greenville County. But to share a few highlights, and this is just a few, I encourage people to go to our website where there's the full list since 2006 of grants that were awarded. But here are a couple. Julie Valentine Center received funding for a project to upgrade their forensic exam room and increase access to counseling services for victims of sexual assault. Harvest Hope Food Bank received funding to install a new safe loading dock system that has increased the efficiency of food intake and delivery to 450,000 people each year. The Greenville Zoo Foundation received funding to remodel and expand the leopard housing area, allowing them to continue participation in an international breeding program. So again, putting Greenville on the map. And Soteria at Work received funding to hire a manager and renovate their wood shop helping to increase job training for previously incarcerated men and to reduce prison recidivism. So those are just a very few of many that we have funded.
Wow, that's some really cool organizations there, too. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. You guys have done funded a lot of great organizations over the past several years and stuff. So and now, since you guys are a nonprofit, take me through how are your grants funded? Like, where do you guys get the money from? And do all grant recipients receive the same level of funding?
Well, you know, normally, no. The grants that are awarded are between $50,000 and $100,000. That is our typical. And of course, it ranges based on, you know, kind of the application itself. We do ask for a kind of a budget. So, we go everything from 50 to 100,000, could be 77,000, but we're looking for how that money is going to be spent or allocated and looking for that the nonprofit has actually kind of gone through that work. We did have one caveat to this last year in 2021. Due to the unusually intense financial strain placed on nonprofits in that time period from 2020 to 2021, and due to the COVID pandemic, we decided to provisionally change our granting policy to provide $50,000 grants to as many nonprofits as possible, which they could use for operating expenses or whatever necessary to stay afloat, because we recognized that we needed to pivot in order to kind of give back in the right way. We were able to provide 11 nonprofits grants last year because of that change. Typically, because of the 50 to 100,000, we're more in the 6 to 8 range, but we thought it was necessary to kind of do that change. We do commit to at least awarding one grant in each of the 5 focus areas. We recognize that our membership is diverse and that there is interest in various areas. Some are more interested in arts versus environment or versus human services. So we want to make sure that we're looking at everything. Also, we're looking to make sure that we have a holistic approach to how we are funding nonprofits in Greenville County. And so those 5 areas truly allow us to do that. The other thing is that the funding itself comes from our members. So each woman commits to providing $1,200 for a 3-year period. 1,000 of that 1,200 goes immediately to our grant pool. So that's how we fund the nonprofits. And then 200 goes to defray operational and program costs.
Now, you mentioned someone to our members. How does someone become a said member?
Yeah, it's very easy. I will also share with you in a little bit how I became a member, but you can go directly to greenvillewomangiving.org and ask to kind of fill out a, kind of an application for membership. You can call or put in a note on site to ask more information and to have someone contact you to kind of talk through some things. So there are kind of a number of ways to kind of get involved. I personally was invited by a friend to the fall kickoff back in 2013 for Greenville Women Giving. And I was so impressed by the concept of collective giving, because I've always kind of given back or made donations, but never really kind of involved in kind of seeing everything happen in terms of, kind of where the funding was going, being able to see the impact of that funding. So I was very intrigued by the fact that you could do that. So that very first year, at that event, as a matter of fact, I joined, and that very first year I joined Grants Review, even though I was still working. I was, it was that important and interesting and such a learning experience that I'm glad I did that.
Awesome. Now, in terms of campaign and your fundraising campaign, you guys actually have, or you are currently in the midst of an interesting fundraising campaign. Tell our listeners just a little bit about that.
Sure. This is in connection with what our endowment, if you will, because we did find after, I think it was our 10th year anniversary that we launched the endowment, that we wanted to, you know, once we got to a certain level where we were able to commit back to Greenville County, you know, $500,000 or, you know, kind of close to that number each year, we wanted to maintain that and we wanted to maintain our impact. So as part of that, we launched the Cheryl campaign then, and we're in the midst of our annual campaign. So what Cheryl is an awesome opportunity for any individual, man or woman, to honor a woman in their lives that have guided or inspired them. As I noted, this is our fifth consecutive year that Greenville Women Giving is holding its Cheryl campaign. Honoring someone requires a $50 donation to the Greenville Women Giving Endowment, or the GWG Endowment, which is a separate investment fund that has two very important objectives. One is what I mentioned, to help ensure the continued impact of GWG in perpetuity. And two is to allow for contributing to community needs that do not fall into the annual grant cycle. So I noted before that our grant cycle opens, you know, November 1 to about the last week of November. That and most of the funding that we get from our members goes directly into that grant fund. What we found with the pandemic, that if we wanted to make a separate donation to, you know, outside of that cycle and something unique, that we didn't have the means to do that. So that's what building an endowment fund will also allow us to do. It is important to know that you can honor as many Cheryls as you would like. And then this year's deadline for honoring a Cheryl is April 15th. Honorees and the individuals that honor them will be recognized in a full-page ad in the May 6th edition of the Greenville Journal. And honorees will also receive cards in the mail notifying them that they have been recognized as a Cheryl. I will tell you that I have been recognized, which was kind of a nice surprise. But I've also recognized my mother in memory of my mother. I've also recognized my sisters, and they were very thrilled to get a card in the mail. They don't live in Greenville, so they don't necessarily see the journal. But, right. You know, again, it doesn't have to be someone living in Greenville. That recognition through the card is very nice. And everyone has, it's something that everyone just, you know, kind of very much appreciates, if you will, that someone has recognized them.
And you talked about Shiro, because I love that. It's a play on the word hero. And who do you consider in your life to be your own Shiro?
You know, I would have said prior to getting involved in Greenville Women Giving, and I'll go back to that in a second, but I would say my mom. I'm a baby of six, so, you know, more power to her to be able, five girls and one boy, so more power to her to be able to have all those girls. But she was a very strong woman. And I think since I am the baby, you know, the reason I recognize my sisters is because they continue to give me that that guidance and inspire me on a daily basis. And I will also say last year we had a little bit of focus on, you know, kind of the nurses and things of that nature. And I have like several nurses in my family that I just could not appreciate more because of the things that they were dealing with over the last couple of years. So I would say to you, and you know, those are kind of just a couple of examples. And then I'll go back to my comment about Greenville Women Giving. I think the interesting thing about being part of this organization is, and what intrigued me back in 2013, because I was still working and traveling 90% of the time. So being able to be part in a room with such powerful women and such great energy, I have learned so much for so many people as part of this organization that our paths may not have crossed otherwise, right? So there's just, you know, recognizing that there's that's a lot of women to kind of, you know, interact with, learn from, different backgrounds, you know, across Greenville County, it really is kind of amazing to be able to kind of have that exposure.
Now, as we come to the end of our time together, I just want to real quick, for anybody that may have mentioned that may have missed it earlier in the show, how can someone join Greenville Women Giving, and is there anything else that you would like to add?
Sure. So I think one of the things, and we have a great website, so going to greenvillewomengiving.org, and like I said, there's an opportunity to either immediately join or to put in a question, to submit a question, and someone will come back to you. If you want to, that's also a good way to kind of say, hey, I would like to be part of an education program or one of your events that's open to guests, but I don't know anyone. How can I get involved? That we will definitely kind of follow up. The other thing is, that's also the same way to recognize the Shiro. If you go to our website and there's a button that says Honor a Shiro, and you go straight through the process. It's step by step, and you can, kind of submit payment online, or there's also instructions of how to submit via check. So we make it kind of fairly easy and straightforward. To, kind of learn more about the grants that we have submitted funded over the years, as well as, Honor a Shiro, as well as become more involved. And I think the last thing I would mention is that if you also go to the website, I think the story about how Greenville Women Giving first started, I mentioned our founders earlier, Harriet Goldsmith, Sue Priester, and Frances Ellison. There's a nice write-up that talks about how one of them had a great idea file modeled off of another giving circle across the U.S., and they pulled together, certain folks and kind of said, do we think this would be, a good fit for Greenville? And it talks about, kind of how that synergy was just perfect, and kind of how they all got together and kind of moved this forward, exceeding their goals for year one in terms of the membership that they were looking for, and it has continued to grow ever since then. And I think, and there's always, people move and you lose some, but new people come in. We have, kind of young, old, different backgrounds. So it really has been very encouraging.
A lot of good information. And thank you again. That is Beverly Ward of Greenville Women Giving. Be sure to go check them out. Join them and be able to leave a donation. It'd be greatly appreciated. Ms. Ward, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today on Focus on the Upstate. I'm Timothy Holcomb. We'll catch you next week. Later.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Timothy Holcomb. If you'd like more information on today's topic, email timothy.holcomb@entercom.com.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!